Really? Okay, Rabbi Sayer, our second day of learning Eicha. We did the first word yet, half of the first word yet, right?
Sorry,
we reviewed the basic idea. So, and I want to mention that this is the Zichrei Shel Pinchas Freiberg. He was Nifter on Tisha B'Av, so that the whole idea came from his son, Tej. And a lovely way to be on Siach HaZecher. So, yesterday we learned like this, that the central idea of Megillas Eicha is the word Eicha itself. And that the usage of Eicha throughout is each one of them, we have to examine each one of them represents the element of surprise on a different level. But the nature of the surprise of Eicha goes all the way back to the essence of Avelis as expressed in Gan Eden, which is the Ayecha. And that's the Targum even opens the Megillah by pointing that out. The Medrash points that in a different way. The Lashon HaMedrash is akin to Adam of Rubris, like Adam HaRishon, just like Adam HaRishon. He was Nicholas of Gan Eden, and in no time at all, it was all over. And so you're the same thing. And over there I said Ayeka, and Ayeka is spelled Eicha. Okay. Now, the importance, why can't I find the Megillah here? The importance of that idea that has expressed itself in a particular paradox, because the nature of Avelis itself is indeed to question the assumptions and the illusions that people have about the nature of their existence. Whenever we puncture an assumption, we end up with the Avo, which is the idea of the truth. So the Avelis relates directly to, like, the Lashon and the Gemara. We say Aval means, Aval is absolute emes. An absolute emes, opposed to Stam, what we say is correct. Aval is the ultimate but. Meaning, whatever our vision of existence is, there's always a but, as you say in English. And that always a but is the nature of Avelis itself. To the extent that you puncture an illusion, but it's to the extent to which you are disillusioned, to that extent you're closer to emes, and the Mela have shyness to the world as it ought to be. However, there's something that's paradoxical in that, as the Ramban himself points out in Sarasada. Because if this were truly an illusion, how would it possibly have become so universal? Something that is part of the way the world works, it makes no sense that we should be programmed not to be able to make it part of our lives. Instead, human beings spend their whole lives escaping death. And when it occurs, they're in mourning. It just doesn't make any sense. It's the only mechanism that's completely destructive. It's self-destructive. I mean, why in the world wouldn't we be able to function normally with something that's normal? And so he explains that it isn't normal. In other words, the point, the recognition that we have of Avelis is ultimately the sense that that is not the way things are supposed to be. And then the Ani Amarti Elohim Aten, but that's only if you want to be Ka'adam Avru Brit, as the Medrash says over here. You don't want to be Ka'adam Avru Brit and Enochin Ani. You are meant to be immortal. So there's something about an Adam in which the person senses himself that his existence, it makes no sense that it should be batel, arbitrarily. We mentioned yesterday that when it came to Aaron HaKohen, that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu was embarrassed to tell him that he has to die. It made so little sense. That's such a thing, Shaya. And that Klal Yisrael refused to believe Moshe Rabbeinu that he had died because it was impossible. So a normal person senses chasreinus himself, it's not all that impossible. But nonetheless, he senses his own existence from birth. It is a given, not because it's an assumption, but because his value for existence is such that it's a complete steer to say that it should be chaser. We saw this on Haga in Asnil ben Kenaz that came from his mother who gave him the shame Yavetz, Tiyalitiyu Be'etzet. So that's the whole point. even though every woman in history was Yoled Es Be'etzer, but it was the fact that to her was unacceptable that turned him into Othniel, where he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, this is what I need. And what do I need? Everything. No headaches, no tummy aches, I don't want to be bothered by anything. Every investment I make has to be totally successful. I want a house full of Talmidim. I want the best friends in the world. And if I'm not going to get it, I'm telling you right now, I'm going in misery to the grave. Says the Gemara, Miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu did exactly what he asked. What's the pshat? Because Be'etzem is unwillingness to compromise on that. So I'll accept it. I mean, accept it in the sense that, okay, this is a tragedy, but I'm certainly not going to say it's normal. That someone like me should be have to have a headache and instead of being able to sit and learn. It's crazy. It's a violation of every meaning in existence. I said, well, you made this world as a joke? Fine. But I'm going to die miserable. I'm not going to say, you know, I'm going to learn to do with it. It's a compromise. It's a, what was the word you used yesterday? I'm not going to resign myself to it. Never. Until I die. Okay, so the miyad by Yahweh, I'll look at that already. Okay. You got it. An amazing response. So in a sense, the Eicha itself is a fantastic contradiction. It's almost an existential paradox. To the extent that you're puncturing an illusion, then the Etzem, life itself, should be meaningless. Because if at all times you're saying, don't fool yourself into thinking there's anything to this, in another minute you could be dead. So don't take it seriously. So then there's nothing to mourn. The whole idea of the Eicha is the mourning on the contradiction. So then if it's a contradiction, then it's not an illusion. So no wonder, Jack, you're trying to make me face up to the concept of Eicha through Avedis. And that's more the Aveda that you're Messiah me on the day. But Avedis itself is contradictory. And we pointed out that every child experiences this contradiction. You'll take them to a sad movie, and they will not feel when they come out of the movie that they should think less of life. Adarava, they feel ennobled and empowered by it. They think more of life. I said, wasn't a very sad movie. It was a very sad movie. It was terrible. So what did you enjoy about the movie? Why did you like seeing the movie? Right? So there's the sense of the reality of it, the connection to it. I mean, so why didn't it make you doubt life, if that's the case? Why didn't it make you feel that nothing's worthwhile? It should depress you. But it doesn't depress you. On the contrary, it makes you sad. And that's what Kohelet points out, right? Tovo lecha sobe tovo. What's tovo? Achai yitein aliba. But if achai is nice in aliba, like the Gemara gives a series of things to do against the Yetzer Hara, the last thing to do is Yashilo Yermamodis. Yermamis, right? Why? I mean, if it's effective, that's the first thing to do. What do you start with things like the Yeshma and so on? So you see that is a last resort issue, because to the extent that you're Shaver, the Yetzer, by being Shaver, your belief in life and your involvement in life, so to that extent, you're unable to utilize life. So what are we playing? A game. Be'etzem, this is Nogea also, the Mishnah, about Shav Yom Echad L'Tznei Misasva. That's the Rambam explains the whole meaning of the Mishnah, is that it isn't the Yom Misasva, Stav Kigen L'Tznei Misasva. But that's the whole point that he's making. Memela his Talmidim asked, Rebbe, this Yodea Adam Masayamas. If he hadn't said that, only an idiot would have asked a question like this. You're telling me you should die, you may die today, you better do tshuva. So Talmud's going to say, well, you never know. I said, that's the point, that's what I was just saying, you never know. What, are you an idiot? So what are they coming to him? And he says, I could be, oh, great point. You don't know, so kosh can you call your mother tshuva? I mean, literally, it's laughable, right? Mamish takes an idiot to ask a question like this. Rebbe, what do you mean you should do tshuva the day before you die? You don't know when you're going to die. I mean, this must have been awfully dumb for me. Unless mamish, that's the point. They make the diet instantly, the way the Rambam is the fire supposed to be. In Perichri, Eshla that you were telling me I should do tshuva because I may die. Zombie? Then do tshuva. You tell me I should do tshuva today because I may die tomorrow? Well, what do I understand? I don't know when I'm going to die. The pshat is that you're telling me don't do tshuva because you're going to die now. Because that's not tshuva. That's end game. It's a whole completely different type of thing. We're trying to be mashlim a life. It's not nogea future, which you don't have. It's not nogea the act of living. It's nogea the combination of living. But if you're telling us to be shav yeinecha mitznei nisatcha, it's the pshat, this may be your last day. Make the best of it, not wrap up your life today. So I understand, so that that's the contradiction. I mean, if I'm responding to the imminence of death, so then it's the day that I'm dying. If you're telling me, no, don't think about that, I'd rather live. So what's the chance to say? How do I keep both in mind? Tomorrow I may die, but today I'm alive. I mean, I don't know, I don't have any particular zikah to tomorrow. His chiddush of kol shekein, that kol yamecha yu b'tshuva, the Rambam says that that's mamish the whole point of the pasuk, and that the Gemara brings there, right? Which is b'kol eis yu b'gadech alavanim. His diyuk is b'kol eis. Remember, this is Shlomo HaMelech who says eis 32 itim. So b'kol eis yu b'gadech, whatever you're involved in, it could be eis lehov, it could be eis milcham, whatever it is. It's not a stira to recognize the overall reality of folk and limitations and to live completely and fully. Why not? Only because of tshuva. In other words, the solution to the paradox was the fact that the nature of Eicha is precisely as the original Ayeka. Meaning, I'm adding things as I'm doing a long time, meaning that just like the question of the Ayeka, in a sense, is rhetorical, the Eicha is the Etzem rhetorical. How does the Ayeka, the Pshat, says Rashi says that. What's the Pshat? That's what you're asking, Adam. I don't understand. So where are you now? You got something great out of this? It's like you're holding where you wanted to be holding. How did such a thing happen before? That's exactly what Eicha means. That implies that the fact that such a stira is possible is explainable only in one way. That it exists in order for there to be a human condition. There's no other explanation. In other words, Bishlema, if life was what it is external to me, this is impossible. If life is nothing in terms of its potential, then this is normal. There's no other. If I'm locked in a situation in which this is what things are meant to be, but only I can actually allow them to be the way they're meant to be, or I can screw them up, then the very question Eicha or Ayeka becomes a disastrous question in which the tons of responsibility falls on me to always be living with Eicha. And that's what the Rambam says in Perek Gimel. But that's mamish the meaning of Tzadik Yisrael Eila. It's the recognition of the potentiality. You have to see the world kilo mechza zakai mechza chaya. It's him that makes the difference. The world is balanced, so it's a person. If he does what he needs to do, sinimtze garma kol olam kula tishua gedayla, and so on and so forth. You made creation happen right now. On the other hand, you do the one thing that destroys it. So you can makako kolay lam kulay. This is the essence, the original words of Marisha. That's the rule. Komasha barasi bishvilcha barasi tein daifra shalotakakala selami. But then there's the addition of the medesh in tekakala and yishivarachalechala takein. There's nobody external to you. It's yours. So if it's yours, why is it my world? Tein daifra shalotakakala selami. You make up your mind. You give it to me, so I'll do what I want. No. You know, as well as I know, that it isn't meant to be this way. It bothers a 2-year-old that the world stinks. He sees something that's a sphere, something that's ugly, something that's dirty, something that's cruel. It kills him, not because it's personal, but honor up, because it's the most impersonal thing in the world. It's a violation of existence. You see somebody talking not nicely to another person, it's profoundly disturbing. It has absolutely nothing to do with you. It eats away at you. Why? You see, it's meant to be a world of perfection. You see, because of that potentiality, that it remains my world. It's etchem shayach at all times to teshua gedayla, to geula, to the gilead shchina, and so on and so forth. The more one recognizes the eicha, the greater that sense of responsibility and the sense of tzaddik yisrael eilam. That it's always b'chol shah v'shah, kilo metzachayev, metzazakai metzachayev. Because that's the reality. It's mamish the reality. That's what ayeka means. Memela, on the day of ayeka itself, which is Rosh Hashanah, which is be'etzem, the beginning of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, which is the tikkun for the Ma'aseh Ego, which leads to the eicha in the first place. It's all profoundly interrelated. So that idea of Tzkiyah Shefer is coming to bring out that ayeka. The original call of the Shefer is essentially the extension of the ayeka that was asked, was said on Rosh Hashanah, the original Rosh Hashanah, in Gan Eden. So that was that day, and that's what the Rambam says. That's what Kol HaShofar is Machayev, is the awareness of that ayeka. If you're always going to have to answer that question, then you're always on the cutting edge. If you're on the cutting edge, you become tzaddik yisrael eilam. Because you recognize that what the world is meant to be is a function of you, and that potential is always there. Memela, all of the kinos that pretend to give an answer to eicha are off the point completely. No, so like the keynote says, okay, they ask eicha, but they don't say eicha the other way. How did you behave this way, and so on and so forth, right? No, what I did to Yerushalayim, they say, but what they did to Karsatap, they don't say. But the point is that that's what eicha means. When I say eicha, I mean how did we let it happen, not how is it shayach. Because by asking how is it shayach, it only makes sense to ask that question in a world that is imperfect because of me. Otherwise, there's no tasha to ask. I mean, how did it happen? That's the human condition. You're going to say, how did it happen that he died? How did it happen that he died? He was 139 years old. What do you mean, how did it happen that he died? Is that an answer? It's not an answer. That's the point. And if it is an answer, so now I understand. So what if he was 32? Lots of people died at 32. I said, well, what's the kasha? So how did it happen that he died? How did it happen? He had a brain tumor. How did it happen he had a brain tumor? It happened. But we don't feel that that's an answer. That's exactly so. It means that this kasha itself includes all of the subtext that you'll find in the Kinas about the Maisim, why it happened, what was done. That's what Eicha means. So if you're shy of asking Eicha, you're shy of the Tikkun of the Tshuva. If you're not shy of asking Eicha, you're not. So someone who views Eicha as a question to the Ribbono Shel Olam, an Eli Wiesel kind of question, is completely missing the point. You're telling us that it's Baruch Hu. How did such a thing happen? How could you have allowed this to happen? And so on. I'm asking you that question. What are you asking me that question? That's the idea for you, idiot. Right? There's not the fact that it's matching. We're going to go back and we'll tell our Kaddish Baruch Hu. I understand what a mess you made of the world. That's something that somebody promised you a rose garden. What's the type of mess I made of the world? What's not enough for you? That's the Mayusain and Gever. What were you trying to say? I said, complain about. You have so many wonderful things. Who are you complaining about? You have something to ask. It's Gever al Chata'a. It's only about yourself. That's what you can ask. It's the only question you can possibly ask. Otherwise, you're a fool. But if you live in a world of entitlement, which somebody promised you continually, rose gardens, one rose garden after another, and then when one of them doesn't work out, all of a sudden, now you're surprised. No, the Shem Yigam Hachek is a different issue, and it's not trusting himself.
It's a self from Hashem.
Yeah.
A called Shem Hachek.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm saying that it adds a different nekuda. It's not only the responsibility, it's the vulnerability to that responsibility. Here we're talking about there's two levels. He's going deeper. This is just, bottom line is, it's dependent on you. This is saying, and if that's true, to the extent at which to be a Ben Yisrael means being Adam, Adam Atem, So it means always hearing the question of Ayeka. So then I understand that the world is, a haftacha is not more than Maitre Bereshis itself. Can't be more than Maitre Bereshis. That's in a brisa ethos. I created a world. Innate in the assumptions of that creation, that it makes a difference, obviously, right? So therefore, it should work. If it isn't going to work, it's because you're going to make it not work. That's just something I can do about. So I understand if I give you up, it's like where Shmuel was told to go and be Moshe about. Look, if I could have spoken to told me, he probably knows what he's talking about, no? So Shmuel says, wait a minute, you think this out properly? I mean, what happens if Shmuel hears about it? Oh, I have an answer, says Ruben Shmuel. I said, what kind of chutzpah and gosh is that? God tells you this, and you can't rely on him. He'll protect you. There's no such thing. In other words, there's the Hanhaga. There's the Hanhaga of Mitzvah, and there's the Hanhaga of Bria. If the din is that B'mokam Sakon, then you have to ask for an answer. Okay, I understand. So this is a mitzvah, like one of the Tired Mitzvahs. A Navi has to listen to the Navi. It's fine. Now I have a problem. So how do I carry it out? What about the din of Mokam Sakon? Oh, we'll have to figure out a Tachabula of some kind. That it shouldn't be a Mokam Sakon. It's no different than anything else. The Yaakov of Inu Kindness. A bishlema, where you have a haftacha given to someone else in the Nevi'ahs. This is because I have to learn it. Because the Rambam says, how do you know the Navi is a Navi Emes? So if it's haftacha, the Tevach and the Baruch won't be crazy. So what's Yaakov Avinu saying? Shemini Yigram Achayit. Elamai the chat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you dinim of Navi Emes, Navi Shek. There has to be a mode by which you can check a Navi Emes. The mode by which you can check is that if it's a haftacha l'teva, he won't be chayzer. Otherwise, you'll doubt the Nevi'ahs. But to the Navi himself, I don't doubt the Nevi'ahs. I know that if I'm an idiot, obviously it's not going to work. So the Melech, I mean, you're going to say it makes perfectly good sense. It's only when somebody else is, it's not his own Nevi'ahs, somebody hears it, then it's not trying to be chayzer. It's not a hanhaga that's a bad hanhaga. So it can't be more than the actual act of vice operations. If I'm going to accept you with Yetzer Lev Adam Ramin Urav, and this is a Meridika thing, the original Deres did not think it was necessary to build a Midabah. Because there was no Havamina, even in Neach, there was no Havamina that it was Shayach to destroy the world. Because even if there's Midas Adin, you could only fine tune it. But isn't Bereshis of the Etzem, and it's a given, no? In a strange way, he was right, because otherwise he wouldn't have survived. You see? So there was a mokum for bris with Neach lechatchila. And in a sense, that's the meaning of Mei Neach, basically. The marble is Mei Neach because Neach was able to survive. If Neach couldn't have survived, then it wouldn't have been a solution. But Lamaisa, afterwards, it required a specific bris with Anhaga. I promise you I will not bring a Mabul again. So why do I need to promise it now? And I wasn't there before. Because at this point, the acceptance was, indeed, of Yetzer Lev Adam Ramin Urav. Mamela, I can't expect the world to work out. So I am resigned to the fact that it's a crummy world. Okay? God says. So if I'm resigned to the fact that it's a crummy world, then there's no longer a haftacha that it should work. That's what the bris of Neach is mechayev. There is a haftacha that it should work. It's insufficient because it's only maintained. It's not shayach for an olam of tikkun. It's only shayach for an olam of nechama. And that's Neach, is nechama. For tikkun, it still requires Yisrael. And that gets into the whole Nimrod. That's what Nimrod is doing. He's saying that's not enough. So what we need, therefore, is the freedom to be able to make sure, we make sure there's no mouth. Let's build an Arthur Smuchim. We'll figure out a way out of that. We don't need to be dependent on the way things are. We can change them. That's Lamaisa Nimrod's vision of Bris Mila, in a sense. What do you mean? What are we? Lemichos? literal lemichos? That we're going to take whatever's thrown our way? We're going to take whatever's thrown our way. And asteroids coming to hit the planet, we'll figure out something to do about it. Like the Gemara says by Menashe. What do we need you for? I understand. He tells the Rebbeinu Shalom, what do we need you for? What's the sun? We'll use nuclear reactors. We don't need the sun. You can take away the sun. It's fine. There's no reason to have the sun. We don't need you. And in a way, that the etzem has to be true, in a sense, that Adam, without Brit, has got to be able to survive on something, right? That's what he's done. Okay, so that means that if you take the Eicha to its final burning reality, it's Mechayev always being disillusioned. It's a very, very difficult thing. Because the first thing, the natural tendency is that no matter what happens, we attempt to achieve Nechama in the sense of comfort. We want to go back to sucking our thumbs. That's the point. And it's about, it doesn't matter what the person has gone through. The moment the situation resolves itself so that he can recreate some semblance of what he calls normalcy, he'll always say that. Things are back to normal. Chozrim l'shigra, right? He wants to restore a sense of shalom. And that itself is a violation of the ayeka, because what this means is that the human condition is to be in a permanent state of war. But not some a war in which war becomes now shigra, but in which it's always the surprise what you weren't thinking about that is going to get you. And that's the Eikev, right? The things that the Adam does Akeva. Because even if you're at war, there's certain assumptions that you continue to make. That's not an issue, is it? And it's only when it becomes an issue that all of a sudden you realize that, that's the Ashrei Adam Mefrachei Tamid, which Rabbi Yochanan says is the whole issue of the Churban. The Ashrei Adam Mefrachei Tamid is the ultimate end of the word Eicha. Because what it means is, if you have some level of assumption, but you have a tremendous sense of, I need to make sure that no kilkulin come out of my meisim and so on, what do you come out with being? Reb Zechariah ben Abkuvus. Says, look, Reb Zechariah ben Abkuvus. Unbelievable shikul. What are we going to do? No, we can't put a mum, because then it could be someone will think that you're allowed to be ma'atim a mum and dekin shiba'ayin. No. Kill him. If we kill him, l'maisa, somebody's going to act on that. And they're going to hold that it has the din of the, like other bizyonis of Kedesh, where also have echav abenim should kill him. Are we going to be ma'atim ritzicha? Because, no. Let's figure out another issue. Okay. Tremendously aware. Says Rabbi Yochanan Adarabba, that's the dogma of someone who's not aware. Why? Because his underlying assumption is, that's maybe that's what we don't have to worry about. I mean, that's a given. Now the shaila is moving. In retrospect, he looks like a madman pushing. Here, the basement is basically burning down, if you have any brains to see. Except you can't bear to see it, so therefore it's not even something to be considered. So the basement isn't burning down, it'll never burn down. But moving, that's a serious concern. You understand, the Beit is burning down, and you're concerned with something that for 2,000 years, nobody's even going to know what it is. But that's your worry. Maybe somebody's going to say, they don't know what a moon is, they don't know what Token Shabbat is, they don't know anything. All because of you. Because of you, no one will ever know you what a moon is. It's unbelievable. And that's because there is some level of illusion. So that's what the Yochanan is saying. It's interesting. Time Growth called me yesterday from America to ask me this question. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan bring a duke? He starts off with saying, Ashrei Adam Mefrachei Tamid. Mach Zaliba Yipo Biro. Why doesn't he first show us what Ashrei Adam Mefrachei Tamid is? Because there's no such thing. There is no duke but what Ashrei Adam Mefrachei Tamid. If there would be, we would be living in an Eilam Atikos. That's the point. But he's saying, nonetheless, that's the tachlis. A person should be in a matter. That's what the Rambam says. That's what Tzadik Yisrael Olam means. That he's an Ashrei Adam Mefrachei Tamid. That's, and it comes out that the nature of tshuva, the nature of rasha, and the nature of eicha, and of the stira and avel is boiled down to being one and the same. Mefrachei Tamid means there's never an assumption about anything. Tame doesn't mean at all times. It means in every possible situation. You have a base of interest. That's normal. It's no more normal than you're having a heartbeat. That's not normal. It's completely abnormal. It's a short period of time in which you have a heartbeat. So why should it be going on a minute from now? So all of a sudden, that's normal. The male looks at it. It's now, therefore, it'll be in a minute from now. What kind of nonsense is that? But granted is a literal meaning, as if it's a grant. It's not a grant. That's it. It's not a world of entitlement. It can't be, because then it wouldn't be a world at all. It's the world of ultimate entitlement. The ultimate entitlement is to have the freedom of all options. That's the ultimate entitlement that you have. What greater entitlement could there be? So you're a chai. Okay, so then the only thing to do is to worry about Gerol HaTahan.
No.
The Gemara says the Farish. That it's Dr. Rishayim that have that level of anxiety. The Gemara says, Rishayat, also you're a Rasha. Because it's the Pachadu B'tzion Chotim. The Dr. Chayte has that sense of anxiety. He's disgusted with his own life. He feels he's not. You know, these are people that doubt themselves. Instead of constantly thinking, well, I don't deserve this, I don't deserve that. But that's because the whole vision of life is screwed up. The Etzem, they refuse to accept that nobody ever deserved anything. So, hell am I, the Shiloh, I'm a no good thing. I know I'm a no good thing deep down. So, therefore, I'm always suspecting something terrible is going to happen to me. That's not the point. The point is to suspect the underlying condition. Not that you have a thing that you're not, you have a chayte, you're not being in the sakin. That's dumb a chayte. Whoever heard of such a thing? We're talking about people who think that they don't have chatzoyim. That's the problem. So that, I'm telling you, that idea is to tear away the level of assumption that, oh, thank God things are back to normal. And this is, came out the most difficult thing in the world, is because people will recover from avelut, but only by a sense of restoring normalcy. They will not recover by incorporating a change in their vision of the human condition that is profound enough to allow them to become a Sneel Ben Kenaz. It's always, to some extent, a recreation of a normalcy. And there's no such thing as, oh, recover, excellent. That's right, covered up again. Exactly. Perfect. That's perfect. I wonder if that's what the new test will look up for this. Sounds like it. Right. Okay, so if that's the case, we explained yesterday that explains the Ani Agever. Because Eicha has to have implications for Ani Agever, otherwise it doesn't mean anything. No, the solution to the Eicha, to be able to say Eicha, is the acceptance of the position that you have of I'm the man, so to speak, we say it in English. There's no other man. I'm the man. Because that's the point. That's what makes someone a tzaddik to say Eicha. In the world that exists for him, there's nobody else, basically. The only one that could possibly make a difference is himself. So I'm the man. Therefore, Ani Agever, Bani added today from Rashi, that he writes the three-time olive base connected all three of the Eichas. So he goes olive, olive, olive. And here we have each one separate. So he has to see himself as Ani Agever within the context of every last one of the Eichas. Lamaita exists on various levels. And as we were saying, that really the tiniest, the Arba tiniest themselves, three of which are pre-Hurban, one of which is post-Hurban, some Gedalia, and at least as Ramah says, it was the Gachelet that would have allowed re-Binyan. But the three tiniest that come before Hurban are issues of acceptance of vulnerability on different levels. In other words, it was that first shake-up that there could be an army outside of Yerushalayim, in which case you have to question, is it Shaykh that maybe Yerushalayim could fall? But that idea itself is enough, you know, like they say in Yiddish, Ibergekunin Mitzrek. That Ibergekunin Mitzrek is a fantastic insight. People misunderstand it today because of the foolishness of the modern, you know, the entitlement Judaism. that's become now mamish the popular Judaism, entitlement Judaism. You know, why do bad things happen to good people? We're all good people. And so why should bad things happen to good people? I mean, it's a given. If something bad happened, he couldn't be a bad person. I mean, it's got to be a good person. We're all good, right? You know. And I mean, certainly it's biyadi to make sure this doesn't happen and that doesn't happen. I make sure, I mean, my kids couldn't possibly get hurt, could they? I mean, you know, there couldn't be an accident or anything like that. Or, I mean, the whole idea is I'll take care of it. Yeah, totally, you know. And no, I don't know, my daughter is very uncomfortable. Somebody insulted her. I better speak to the school psychologist. Maybe we should change schools. Talk to the principal, get a new team. I mean, this is modern. This is common. This is the modern vision. And that's just a mixus. It's to make sure everything's good. You know, something terrible happened. Gosh, that's like, you know, then we talk about big philosophical things. How does God do bad things? And we have long discussions about that. And how about Hashem? And you know, call up Eli Wiesel to give a, you know, maybe he'll take our Kaddish Baruch Hu to court for us. And you know, and be today, and how could such a thing happen? And you know, it's unbelievable. Okay, but if you don't have an entitlement vision, so then the idea of Eicha is constant, and it doesn't freeze you, because anything that you were assuming was good, the reality is that the Yoylam is not an Yoylam of Tikkun, and that the thing that makes you ask continually, so what's missing still? What needs to be done? What could possibly be done at this instant that would allow recovery from Kilbo? Something's missing. Kilbo. The world is not what it could be. What can be done? That's constantly the refrain in such a person's life. So that the war is not going over the same issues again and again. Because it's not really a war. That's a holding action. A holding action, not a war. A war sets out to win. You have to define what winning means. And obviously, when it comes to the process of Geula itself, that's the most fundamental war. I mean, it's the Milchama, whether you call it Milchama Samalek, or it's the Milchama for Eretz Yisrael itself. But that feeling of entitlement that is had with Gabi Eretz Yisrael as well is a terrible mistake. We talked about this yesterday, that the people should feel it's a given that we have Eretz Yisrael. It's a given. It's not a given. It's a Yerusha. The nature of Yerusha, you have to go and get it. That's a Morash HaKilas Yaakov. Call me Shiroz. You have a Yisrael. Fine. Go and get it. Oh, there's armies in the way. There's world opinion in the way. There's the United Nations in the way, without whom your economy will be strangled. There's a lousy chinuch system in the way, so your soldiers don't have any interest in this. There's a system of philosophy that derives out of Eretz Yisrael that doesn't allow your soldiers to fight. Okay, so what are you going to do about it?
Okay.
Hold hands. That's a wonderful solution. So what are we going to do about it? Hold hands. That's the question. So the unwillingness to question Eicha leads to failure. It has to lead to failure because it's always making an assumption about the nature of life which is wrong and which needs to be burst. I mean, the Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid is fascinating. You take a look at the Gemara and get the examples, the three examples, are mamish. I mean, we look at them like, I said, well, you're crazy. You're starting up with the Roman army because they cut down the trees. There's something wrong with you guys. You take a look in modern terms, it's exactly the same. You have a couple hundred thousand Jews who are totally dependent in every way on countries outside of themselves. They could be completely, the screws could be turned on them overnight. That part you literally can't survive for a month. You won't have energy, there won't be oil, there won't be gasoline, there won't be money, literally overnight. No, that's not an issue. What do you mean? It's a given. After all, President Bush says he likes us. That's not a problem. So that's okay. Now the shaila is, so how many trees did they cut down, and what are we going to do about it? Oh, they don't like it? Tup, 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 tup. We'll teach them a lesson. A couple of nice missiles here and there. They'll learn their lesson. And if the French don't like it, we'll take down the Eiffel Tower. It's exactly the same psychology. It's like it is an Eul of the Das that, look, if they want to screw you, it takes nothing. You're completely dependent.
Is that true in any country, or is it more true here?
I don't understand. No. The entire world is focused on one little dot on the map of an entire planet. That's all of their makshava. Yemom v'layim. You have a couple hundred thousand Jews, basically, who can fight, who are surrounded by billions and billions of barbaric Sonians, who are coming. I mean, this is the real situation. They're coming at them, Yerim of Belila, with their sword wavings and their scraggly faces and their bloodthirstiness. And mamish, they're pouring against your walls, you know, and you keep shooting them down. They keep shooting more, there's more than endless. The more the better, shoot us, there's plenty of us. They keep coming, keep shooting them. Meanwhile, like the Gemara says, the celebrations are going on, you know. They don't even know what's going on. Literally, that was the situation in the Gemara. They were murdering millions of people, but nobody had gotten the word in the nightclubs, so the nightclubs were still running, and everybody was still celebrating. And meanwhile, at the walls, you know, they're smashing and they're killing and they're, you know. And this is exactly the situation that they're in. Nobody gets the message that maybe this is like not exactly, you know, another place in the world where such a thing is. Where you're completely connected to Teva, you're maintaining this small oasis of supposed civility, which is falling apart in every possible way. Constant, this bandage, that bandage, there's always something to do. We'll figure out what to do about this and what to do about that. And now, oh, what a lovely day. We go walking down the street, and it's good to know that life is normal again. It's been 5 months since somebody blew up a bus in Duluth, Smithereen. Isn't that great? It's a perfectly normal country again. I was waiting for this day. This is what people are talking about. This is, what place is there in the world like this? Canada? Where is this such a thing? You understand that this is the most insane place on earth? The same thing. Is there another place that is dependent on this level? There's another country that, yeah, Liechtenstein. I mean, at least they've got tax havens. What have you got? It really is unbelievable. It's going to negative and so on. And the entire approach is to make it as normal as possible. If they need another to Kenneth, they're still making a Medina to Kenneth. I mean, did you have a disashaisis to bring a Medina to bring it to Kenneth? It's a mad aberration in human affairs. And everybody knows it, and everybody hates it, and everybody wants to see it gone, because it's a mad aberration. And the more you succeed, the angrier they get. And nobody understands, gee, why are they angry? All we're doing is protecting ourselves. That's the whole point! You're not supposed to protect yourself to be able to protect yourself. It's an aberration. Nobody stops that the more successful you are, the more insane your position has to become. They'll find a way somehow. And eventually they'll find it openly instead of under the table. You know? So then what are you going to do?
Rather what we should be doing here.
Reading Eva. Well, you have to get down to what the fundamental problems are. Something is terribly wrong in the nature of our identity of self. We're unable to show other people that we deserve to exist. That's a fundamental problem in Yisrael. That was Yaakov's problem. He wasn't able to face Esav until he worked that problem out. So it took him decades to work out that problem. He didn't say, it's no problem, I'll just get a better machine gun and I will go kill Esav. That wasn't his solution. And the night before, he's still working on the problem. Then he said, how could there be a solution to just get better weapons? And everybody falls into this trap. I mean, you know, it's either better weapons, better politics, better public relations. That's all. It's not viewed as strange that there's so many coincidences. That it's just the fact that Jews, who are known all over the world for being able to put together economies, but the doctor, they can't manage an economy. That's rather strange. Jews are running half of the public relations firms in the world, Yeah, but not when they build their own country. Then they're a disaster, man, catastrophic. Then they do whatever they can to make the world hate them. I mean, everybody thinks, I guess that's the way it is. It doesn't strike you there's something strange about such a situation. See, everything is bizarre. It's all bizarre. But because we need to live in a world that is normal, we pretend the bizarre is normal. So that's mamash what Tisha B'Av is coming to say. Will you stop the illusions? Stop pretending that the bizarre is normal. It isn't normal. And the fact is you will be led to the most bizarre behaviors in yourself, and you'll think they're normal by assuming that the bizarre is normal. Because that's basically what's done. You get these arrogant, pompous, fat Israelis walking around the world, telling them what's going to be. And every one of them who goes around makes them hate you more. And you're cringing to hear it. In his broken, he doesn't even bother taking a course in Berlitz. He should be able at least to communicate. Let them try to understand me. He's very good the way I speak English. No, he's perfect. It's mamish crazy. Who ever heard of such a thing? See, any other country such a thing? Send out an ambassador. It's like the Bulgarians at the world's Kiddush Cup. Good. Anyway, that's the humor of it, but it is humorous. I mean, Echa ultimately is humorous. It's so mad that it's humorous. The truth is, Din is humorous, and that's the obvious connection. It's absolutely hilarious. It is so bizarre. That is truly hilarious. If it wouldn't be such a comedy, we would be laughing. But in a chenana, we call it the human comedy in the end. It's so insane.
The
Ishtadus of Ani HaGever, you're asking, or the Ishtadus of the Am as a whole?
The Ishtadus of the Am as a whole. Right. The problem is that's all. If it wasn't that that's all, so
what do you mean that's all?
Let's use the phrase now, that's all. I'll just make it better, that's all, and it will be okay.
I don't recall saying that. I don't know, but I'll listen to it and see. I think you're making this up.
Is the problem...
Did anybody else hear that song?
Probably I did, but I don't understand
it.
He's always a great compromise.
See, I'll just make a better weapon. I'll just do that, and that's all. Right? Mm. But it's not that song. I have to work in a better weapon. I have to work in a better population. But don't think that that's where he's so was. You can't be satisfied with that. It's a problem that you have to work out all the time. You don't ignore working on the better mitzvah. You don't ignore working on better public relations.
Well, possibly.
Or are you propping up a hoax to begin with, and therefore it's all...
I don't know. I mean, that's a shiloh of what's the yotzva to do. What's the yotzva attacking? You obviously don't have a right if it's not the yotzva attacking. You don't have a right. This is Nogia Bess in the Ramban's question. At what point do you go to adopt? And that's a function of realism. It's a mice, you're living in a world in which most of what happens is random because of your mice. You have no choice but to utilize the normal mechanics. This itself boils down to the question of when Moshe Rabbeinu hits Iraq and when he speaks in Iraq. This is Gufei Yitzchak. It's because of Shimon HaAmorim that he hits the rock. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Talk to a rock when I'm surrounded by idiots? That's basically the question. I didn't say, what am I going to do? No, we're not going to build nuclear weapons. We're going to sit down and discuss how to be B'nai Yisrael. It's not shy. I mean, I'm surrounded by idiots. So I'll hit the rock with a nuclear weapon. That's the response. It could be there's a time, or what else is supposed to do? I won't go to the doctor. I'll do tshuva. Mr. Meshuggah, who are you to do tshuva? You better go to a doctor. You have nothing else to do because you're too much of a jerk. You can't suddenly decide now. First do tshuva, then tell me, okay? After you've done tshuva, and you're zeichet the gilui yeshkina, and so on and so forth, then tell me you're not going to the doctor. Don't say I'm not going to the doctor, I'm busy doing tshuva. That's nonsense. So, I mean, there has to be a balance in the way things are. That was the chetam apilim, right? It's exactly part of the korban. It was exactly the opposite of the etzem acceptance of the merag. So the mapilim say, oh, you're right, what a terrible thing that we should think for a moment that we have to conquer Eretz Yisrael. It was nonsense. We're going up. Weapons, no weapons, we're going. don't go, because the Lord's not with you. He'll see us going. Don't worry about a thing. He'll see such fine people with such people. Of course he'll come through in the end. Despite your entitlement, you get wiped out. That's not just silliness. That's what you're asking. Should we be like a Matilim, or should we be like a Meraglim? I mean, I don't think it's an all or nothing issue. Both of them are wrong. Any element that's manipulative, to be manipulative of relationships is even worse than to be manipulative of physicality. At least physicality works. But ultimately, the solution is Dimos. I mean, it's the Kehuim Ochim Dvarim. That's ultimately the solution. I mean, the Shaila is that that's either you do or you don't do. You can't discuss doing it. You can't be trying to do it. You have to be doing it. In other words, the Yishtaro Kavonam Las Tshuva is not a solution for acting as if you haven't done Tshuva. A person who's done Tshuva is something else. But you can't say that because there's an inyan to constantly be working on Tshuva, which is the Eicha itself, because I'm saying Eicha, and that's the seventh parak in the Rambam. Right, is that Yishtadal Adam Lasis Tshuva? That's the Shev Yomer, Shev Yomer from the Knei Misasa. That's where he brings that Aloch and Aloha Alam. Yishtadal Kol Adam is not a solution to taking the place of what needs to be done when you're not in a Matzah 15. And you have no choice. You can't say, I'm such a rush, I won't even defend myself. You have to defend yourself for the potential that's within you. That's also halacha, right? Rambam says, "No, because it's saying, I, you're a Russian. Not going to work with chassal, not your same shall reshain. That's why I'm sure we say in Yom Kippur. Miyata shame, aminim, bitri adas, and so on and so forth. They find themselves to be part of Yisrael. So in other words, you need to protect yourself or the Russian next door by building a mikan. And why do you need to build a mikan? He's such a Russian. If he's shy after falling off the roof, he should try to fall off the roof. Good riddance. Why is he shack falling off the roof? Because he lives in a world of mikra. I couldn't work was going to protect him not to fall off the roof. So if he falls off, he fell on a fell. Says the fairy's not supposed to. He fell on a fell, me man. If he fell, he should have fallen. Thank God. Good riddance. I should build a mic enough to protect him and sugar him. Amazing, right? In the same pasuk, you better make sure you have a market because otherwise he fall on a fell, me man. That's exactly what he's going to say. Look, if we're going to be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, it's what we deserve. Well, what kind of nonsense is that? Say about anything. As if I'm going to die from this illness, if there's a bullet with my name on it, this is the way people talk. This is fatalistic. Eicha is mechayev non-fatalism also. You look for you to protect the potential of tikkun within you. But potential can only be in the sack, you can only protect by doing what needs to be done within the context of that potential. If it's only physical, then that's what you have to do. 100%. But it has to be seen not as a desperate measure which relies on physicality and which Ramel and Alchemy restore everything to normal. Because since we have, thank God, electrified barriers to all the people that are smashing themselves on the fence, it's okay, don't worry. Don't listen to the noise out there, it's all right. There's plenty of electricity. That's a beautiful metaphor. Yeah. All right, so that's the second half of the word. You know, we have to talk about actually the code, you know, more we dash it separately with the A code. Could be that the two elements of how to be noyeg with Eicha are even merumas. The fact that we mokhem dvorim are even merumas in the mocker of Eicha in Parshas Dvarim, which is the Eichas Salavadi. So there the Parshas in which we sing in the upcoming Parsha on Shabbos Chazon, always comes out again with Eichas Salavadi. And we sing that with the Niggin of Eicha. And indeed, Chazal point out that there were Shloisha that were Nitznaba Beloshen Eicha, and include Meisha in that. So the Medrash says that brought out by the two words Eicha. That if you had been Oyver Hashem the Simcha of the two Vleibos, then you would have been safe to say to be Tere Eicha Solavadi. But since you didn't, you're going to read Eicha Yashua Babat. So that means that the Eicha Solavadi is itself seen as the opposite. Because they're both, indeed, they're both aspects of Eicha. One is an Eicha that can work, but one is an Eicha that doesn't. That is the result of failure. What's the difference between them? I think it's very simple. One is Lashon Avar, and one is Lashon Asa. In other words, to recognize that this is what the potential requires, which is what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, even though it's a response to a matzah in which Yisroel is not hoping by coming to him and getting the Torah directly from him, that's an Elam of Tikkun. That's why it's Torah. You're looking now, okay, so what can we do? We'll make a Sanhedrin. We'll give everyone the ability to be able to become Moshe B'Dayrah, and so on and so forth. So that's a good thing. But to look at a situation ex post facto is a disaster. That's what they do in this country. There was the Mane Vadat Hakira. How did this happen? Everybody was shouting, this is exactly what's going to happen. But we obviously need a parliamentary committee in order to figure out how it happened. You know this, Rami Shaveri. Every single event that happens, which people have been shouting about all the time, is going to happen. Right? And it's the most obvious thing in the world that this is going to happen. They always need to appoint a committee to debate it, how it happened. Because it's so insane. How could it not have happened? It's okay, who's going to happen? That's always what they're doing. So how did it happen? How is the Mefakeh stupid enough to put people out in the field without so on and so forth? The most insane thing, the portion of 10-year-olds, you could have appointed them as Mefakeh and they wouldn't have done. It's Mefakeh does, right? Or like that horrible mice with the truck that, you know, was carrying ammunition and holding all the soldiers together with the ammunition. Oh, there'll be Memaneh Badat Hakira. It shouldn't happen again. Next week it happened again. It was just a few months ago. Same exact mind, the same place, same story. Understand? Didn't this just happen? Is that it was slightly different? Because this time we put the soldiers in the next truck. I'm going on mapping the goddamn. Manish. That's the thing, yeah. So forgive us. You got to be crazy to be part of this. Even the most simple physical things you can't do right. What's the difference? That's Eicha Yashua Babat. So maybe that's the point. In other words, the insistence on awareness of what can go wrong. I mean, Lamaisa, they imprisoned Yirmiyahu for doing that, you know. But he became a Miyagev. Just for being, I mean, he wrote it. And all that he did was, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, I need somebody who's going to tell it like it is. And Mamish, what was he fighting? The people who kept insisting that that's not the way that it is. With all of the Levim HaShekhar, and the Kozul HaFarad, Evel, and Shav, and so on. And I'm trying to tell you, it's not, don't believe them. It's not true. Oh, you're the only guy who knows the answer. Yeah, throw him in jail, throw him into a dungeon. But Einachinami, the presence of the awareness itself is kind of extremely important. I know, maybe that's... That is, maybe the existence of Yirmiyahu and the Sefer Yirmiyahu and Sefer Esa are intimately connected because of that. It's something we should explore tomorrow. I mean, it can't be coincidence. But that was his Aveda, is both Yirmiyahu and Esa, right? Now, he had to see it. He has to become the Ani Agev.
I don't know.
You must be a Dugma and not somebody.
Let me set the Niagara. We haven't done that yet. I know the Niagara. I can do the Niagara. So I go in the department. And there now, the focus of the earth, because he's the one who seems to face to, he's the one that's about to read it and then read it again, etc., and he comes back to the nation. And he's a very interesting person because he's given a special message that, no, you will not become a Navi. And he's a bridge in the Masoret, the 40th generation of Masoret, between Yirmiyahu and Ezra. Right? And this is a, we only have this because he went down to Tashmir. He's acting as the.
So are you connecting that to the nature of Eichon? No. This says Tom. Is Tom giving us a historical cycle to you?
Well, he just said now it has to do with Yirmiyahu and
so. I'm suggesting that the fact that Yirmiyahu has become a Duguma, even among the Umayyads, I mean, if somebody wants to tell you what's going to happen, it's a Jeremiah, right? That's what it's mom's called in English. If they want to be mezalva on somebody who's giving a warning. Yeah, it's, you know, Jeremiah. Yeah, he's going around predicting disaster. It's always the sky's falling in, you know, a little chicken little, whatever. That's the way they look at it. And that's not what happened to Winston Churchill. It's unbelievable. The man points out again and again, he's not some. No matter how much, everybody's calling him an idiot, and you know, what's he going to say today, you know? Mad Eye Moody, Churchill. And so I'm sure they look at him. That's how he was completely isolated. And every single word that he said came true, but because of that, Lamaita, he was able afterwards to be misogynistic, because he had said it as it was. I don't know.
So I think I'm pointing out that there's a catalyst, but you know, the Talmud and the transition to the next generation is the person who even though he was in the day of the Surah, you know, we all mean to get the word out from him. And there's another player
right here.
And the fact of it being said in the day of Samela and in the Lishka of the Sofer and Harbai, Sofer and Kippur, etc., he's the voice.
That's a very important Nakuda. I don't know the practical applications, but it's a very important Nakuda. I mean, there are a couple of individuals, and you see, this is not a small thing, because the Second World War was won only because of exactly such a Muslim. His reaction, one of the most amazing things in reading his words about the war, and in reading his histories about Churchill specifically, is the way in which all of the things that he said were totally impersonal. In other words, he never came back afterwards and said, aha, you see, I told you, this is what you did, and now this is what we weren't the second. Now what do you expect? Of course, but he went immediately, there was never a word of blame, not even brevet, went immediately to be misogynist. The issues that he had defined were the problems. Even though it didn't look like it was misogynable. I mean, it pointed out, if you're going to leave it to this point, how are you going to, you'll never be able to be misogynist. Basically giving away your whole lead. You're putting yourself in a mosque which you'll never be able to catch up with this, in which you've given your enemy that, which you put him into this. It was never an issue. Since I've identified these problems, I already know exactly what needs to be done. Let's go do it. And that became Mamish the saving. But literally, I mean, every prop became the saving. And initially, there wasn't even a hobbling that England was going to survive long enough for the Americans to come in. And that was his whole vision. It is Shire to do that, even though it's Bedoker. It's Shire. And it was only Shire because he knew precisely what had been done wrong. And he was able, bin rega, to be mahapich, the unwillingness, the illusions. It was because of the fact that he had pointed out the illusions initially, when it became obvious to everybody that it's illusory, they were able to switch instantly and to see everything is clear. If not, it could take you a decade until people realize what went wrong. And if nobody is saying up front, this is the fact, then when you lose this and you lose that, you can't come back and say, I understand exactly what happened. You don't understand exactly what happened. You make a parliamentary commission, which reports to you 3 years later what happens. By that time, the Germans are in parliament. Which is what everybody expected. There's nothing to rally behind. There's no das to rally behind. But a Chamberlain's going to turn around and say, I made a terrible mistake. We really ought to fight it. Thank you. thank you. Would you want to go out there and fight? If the guy who says, I have nothing to offer you, he says we have to fight. He said all along, I have nothing to offer you, and he told you exactly. It's okay, ain't nothing at me. This is, there's nothing else to do. It was a mistake, but now we know what has to be done. So it really is. It's not stam we're reading about, you know, the Churban of 2,000 years ago. It actually makes a practical napkamina in modern terms, and that's what allowed the war to be won. I mean, obviously the Nisim Gluyim and the, you know, the Mishkatz attacking Russia and so on, you know, I mean, he wouldn't have had any option to survive as hard as he would have tried. Okay, so he was able to see out the Mishraim in that thing, if we just look at it in terms of himself. Maybe it's a, you know, there's an Indian to define. And in that sense, the Echa, Salavadi, the definition, this is the problem. Klal Yisrael is falling apart. I'm telling you, Echa, Salavadi, if you're aware of that, you'll be loimed that, you'll be carried that, there's what to do about it. If you're going to wait until you read Echa, Yisrael, Zonah, forget about it. Then it's over already. Now you're going to have to start rebuilding and figuring out what to do right. Then you're in Tsaros. That parliamentary commission could take 2,000 years to come back. I think it's a very valid point.